Third round of the PGA continues at Valhalla in Louisville. Xander Schauffele at 14 under par. Colin Morikawa and Shane Lowry one back. Justin Rose leading a group three off the lead in a tie for fourth. Scotty Scheffler struggled a bit today. Doesn't look like he's going to be a factor on Sunday in the final round of the PGA. Twins and Guardians coming up, game two of the three-game set. Lineup card at 4:30. Bobby Nightingale will join us from the Star Tribune in a bit. Right now we're going to go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
Yeah, good. We're a week in from the opener. How's it been?
It's been kind of mixed, really.
Right.
It's just I've been hearing, you know, from people all over the state. All my cronies are all checking in, passing information. It seems like the walleye bite just is not quite there yet. It's been a struggle. Bowstring Lake, Red Lake's been really good. Mille Lacs has been really good. And a lot of the walleye lakes in northwestern Minnesota have been really fairly slow. It's just not quite there yet, but it will be coming, you know, with Memorial Weekend coming up. That's usually the start of the really good bite. But the real big news is the crappie fishing. Oh, my goodness. It is, like, the best I've ever seen. I mean, to give you a good example, yesterday I was on a lake and I had three guide groups, and one of my guys was out in 24 feet of water and found crappies suspended at 12 feet. I found my crappies in 7 feet, and my other guy was in 2 feet in the bulrushes, and the fish were still spawning. So it's just kind of a wild mixture of everything right now, but they're definitely shallow. They're definitely active. They're full of food. Some are spawned already. Some have not. But the fishing for crappies, panfish, bluegills right now is really, really good. So that's only going to get better, and then the walleyes will turn around a little bit. Sometimes, you know, it takes them a while. Water temperatures have been in the 50s. They're not really climbing much, maybe a degree a day. But, you know, we got to get up 58, 59, 60, and then they'll really be going. So the best is yet to come, Steve-O.
So the crappie bite is on. Walleyes are almost there. It sounds like we're moving into prime time for Steve Kearney.
Yeah, I'm a little impatient. It just hasn't quite started fast enough, and it's been kind of a slow start for everything. And, you know, we had an early spring, but it just didn't seem to matter. Now we've just kind of caught up, and we're kind of normal, but it just isn't quite there. But really, we're about 5 or 6 or 7 days away from everything just going crazy, and then a lot of lakes will be going. And that's the best fishing of the year. We've talked about that many times. You get into June and early July, that's the best fishing of the year. So I think the participation was a little less than I expected on the opener. The weather was perfect, but I really didn't see the multitude of boats like I normally do. You know, maybe people were elsewhere, but I think participation was probably average, I guess is the best way to describe it. So people were out, and they're certainly going to be out this weekend with Memorial. It looks like in the North Country, Northwest, it's supposed to rain almost every day this week, and hopefully it'll kind of rebound by the end of the week, because Memorial is huge for fishermen, and they will be out no matter what.
Yeah, and Steve, what have you seen with water levels? I know we've had a fair amount of rain here in the cities and the greater metro area, kind of out of the drought situation, but we know that up north, the drought still lingers. What are you seeing with water levels in your neck of the woods?
Steve, you know, it's hard to believe that we are still low. I mean, we've had a lot of rain in the last 2.5, 3 weeks. We've had a couple of one-inchers, and, you know, we've had plenty of rain, but we're still low. So, you know, a lot of people are going to be up with pontoon boats dropping into a lot of lakes up in the Northwest Lakes Country. You want to kind of, you know, just keep an eye out, because some of these ramps are still really low, and getting in a large boat or a pontoon boat on some lakes might not be possible. But it's hard to believe that we're not, you know, higher up than we should be. I don't really have an explanation, but there's no doubt we're low, but it's not as bad as last year. But we still could use some more rain, and it looks like this whole week it's going to rain anyway, so maybe in a week it'll be, you know, in a lot better shape.
Yeah, no doubt. Looks like a rainy week, even here in the cities as well, or a number of good chances for rain this week. Steve, where are you going to be besides dodging raindrops?
That's a good one. You know, I've got my rain gear ready to go, and, you know, I'm going to be out this week quite a bit. And I'm going to try to dodge the rain, but, you know, the good news is when you get rain, you get overcast. And overcast and walleyes go hand in hand. So we're going to try to sneak out, you know, with the various groups this week, try to in between the rain. And, again, when you have those conditions, those are prime walleye conditions. They love rain. They love overcast, a little bit of wind, and that'll make a big difference. So might have to go in, go out, go in, go out. You never know. We'll just have to see what Mother Nature throws at us this week.
All right, Steve, good to visit with you. We'll do it again next week.
Hey, sounds great, Steve. Take care, man.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney. Steve Kearney Outdoors joining us on the weekends for years here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. And, oh, by the way, our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday with Rob Dreisline from the Outdoor News. He has a phenomenal show between 5 and 6, jam-packed with all sorts of great info. And guys, that's Rob from the Outdoor News, Sundays between 5 and 6 here on News Talk. 830-WCCO, quick break. We'll turn our attention to the home nine, Twins and Guardians. Game two of the three-game set from Cleveland. The Guardians won 3-2 last night. Tough night for Johan Duran and the Twins as they give it up in the eighth inning. Guardians grab the lead, go on to win it 3-2. Twins have dropped four in a row. Bailey Ober on the mound. Bobby Nightingale joins us in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Twins and Guardians coming up. Game two of the three-game set from Cleveland. Lineup card at 4:30. Your first pitch at 5:10. Guardians won it 3-2 last night. Jose Ramirez hit a home run off Johan Duran in the bottom of the eighth inning. They go on to win it once again. 3-2, the Twins have dropped four in a row, and it's been a struggle with the bats as of late. And to sort that out and what's going on with the home nine, Bobby Nightingale joins us, and he covers the club for the Star Tribune, online at startribune.com. Bobby, good to visit with you. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, doing well. Weather's great in Cleveland, so glad to join you.
Yeah, big crowd on Friday night. We played some cuts earlier, some Twins highlights, the Kirilloff home run, but then ultimately the Ramirez home run that turned out to be the game winner. Boy, the fans were into it. What, 30,000 plus at the yard?
Yeah, they unveiled the new City Connect uniforms and kind of made a big day out of it. I mean, they had live music playing outside the park. The crowd, obviously, a big one for Cleveland, and always a better environment when you have a close game and fans are into it. And they sure had a lot to cheer when Jose Ramirez homered there in the eighth inning.
Yeah, they go on to win it 3-2, and Chris Atterbury is pointing out fireworks Friday night and fireworks again tonight at the ballpark. Another big crowd expected. And why not? Cleveland's off to a good start this year. They're a solid team again, and this is an organization that finds pitching. I mean, there is no doubt about it. They get bad news, but they seem to have a parade of arms coming up through the minor leagues.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. If you want a sustainable organization, that's what you have to be able to do, is develop pitching. It's just not feasible to sign, big free agent starting pitchers for a lot of teams, and do that on a yearly basis. So, I mean, you got to give credit to Cleveland for what they've done for pretty much since 2016 when they went to the World Series. They had a lot of great pitchers come through here, traded a lot of them, and still have been able to churn out a team that's remained competitive pretty much every year winning a lot, too.
Yeah, and they got the terrible news on Shane Bieber, who figured to be their ace and really lead the charge for him this year, and they got that bad news right out of the gate this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what it comes down to is, you know, they have pitching depth. They probably don't have the names that match up with a lot of other organizations, yep. But they find guys that, you know, nondescript, low round draft picks, and those guys have success. But I mean, if you look at, like, losing Shane Bieber, if the Twins had lost Pablo Lopez, I mean, how would that have been taken in Minnesota, just the fan base? So, I mean, you look at it, being able to kind of weather that storm and remain in first place when you lose your ace, is that's not easy to do.
Yeah, and by the way, with Cleveland's win last night, the Twins have fallen into third place in the division after this four-game slump. More on that and the slump the Twins are in right now. But they do get some good news. Byron Buxton has been reactivated, and he'll be in the lineup today.
Yeah, he's back. Austin Martin goes down in his place. But, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those. Obviously, they weren't going to be able to score 7-8 runs a game like they were doing at the beginning of their 12-game winning streak. I don't think anyone was surprised that kind of cooled off a little bit. But it's just one of those. They're just not kind of stringing together big innings. I mean, they're hitting a few balls hard, but it's like one per inning, and if that ball's caught, you know, they don't create anything else during the inning. So that'll be something they got to clean up, is just being more consistent, kind of lengthening the lineup, because that's what they were doing when they went on that winning streak, and even after the winning streak against Seattle, when they beat up on their pitching staff, you know, they were able to get a lot from the bottom of the lineup, and I just don't think that's been the case, you know, here since they played the Yankees and yesterday.
And I'm sure the pitchers are going to be happy to see Byron Buxton patrolling center field. You know, the one thing is he is Gold Glove caliber center fielder, and having him out there is a big advantage.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to you don't want to take for granted defense, you could see it over the past few games, just kind of what they were missing without Byron Buxton in center field. I mean, it was a rough series against the Yankees for Willie Castro in center. Austin Martin had a couple of mistakes. Alex Kirilloff wasn't able to make a catch in left field. So, I mean, it changes everything when you have the up-the-middle defense. You know, Carlos Correa, when he was on the injured list, you could see it when Willie Castro was at shortstop. I mean, he handled it fine, but he just wasn't making the same plays that Carlos Correa usually makes. And then you see it in center. So, I mean, when you could shore up the middle of your defense, you know, that goes a long way for the pitching staff.
Yeah, it has been a struggle over the last four games with the bats. Too early to say. It's like that start of the season where the Twins really, really struggled with runners and scoring position and all the strikeouts, et cetera. There's no reason to panic and say we're back in early April mode, but it is a bit concerning when the Twins aren't able to get the big hit when they need it, or string hits together like they did when they were going well.
Yeah, they just haven't had a guy like Max Kepler. You look at him and how much he kind of carried the offense for a little while with his hot streak. Ryan Jeffers kind of the same way, how he's been since pretty much the first week of the season. You know, those guys haven't dominated like they had been. And so they need someone else, you know, to step up. I mean, that's kind of just how baseball is over the course of a season. You're going to have guys step up for weeks at a time, and you know, this week they just haven't really had anyone kind of fill that void with Ryan Jeffers and Max Kepler not getting on base as much as they usually have been.
Well, and the good thing about baseball is the games come quickly and you can turn the page. And they've got a guy on the mound tonight who's been going really well as of late, in Bailey Ober.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go by kind of the most consistent, you take away that start against Kansas City in the first series. I mean, he's been lights out and kind of given them everything they could have asked for. You know, talk about a guy, you know, kind of like we were talking about with Cleveland and their pitchers. You know, how big is it that Bailey Ober is taking a step forward after you lose Sonny Gray and Kenta Maeda? I don't think that probably has been talked about enough, just in terms of, like, some guys, him, Joe Ryan, some other guys kind of putting more on their plate and actually delivering, because that's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, and you look at the numbers over the last seven, 4-0 ERA, 2.16. In his last seven, 41 2/3 innings. So they're almost getting 6 innings on average a start out of Ober, and that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy, he's not afraid to, you know, attack guys in the zone. He keeps his pitch count pretty low for the most part. Doesn't walk guys. So, I mean, that's a recipe for a guy who can pitch deep into games as long as he's having success. And, you know, to his credit, he has been. I mean, he's said, take away that opening start and, you know, you could line him up with pretty much any other pitcher in the American League, and he'd fare pretty well against them. So that gives the team a lot of confidence. I mean, when you have guys that you come to the ballpark and you're like, okay, we feel like we have a really good chance of winning today just because of who the starting pitcher is on the mound.
So it will be Bailey Ober today. Byron Buxton back to lineup. He will be in center field. Bobby, it's always good to visit with you. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, there he is, Bobby Nightingale, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We're moments away from that pregame lineup card. Bobby joining us in the writer's corner, and we try to do that every Saturday before or after the Twins games, and visit with those guys and gals that cover the Twins all season long. And let's take a sneak peek at the lineup behind Bailey Ober in the ball game tonight, Cleveland time. First pitch, 6:10 Eastern, 5:10 our time. Once again, lineup card moments away. Coming up here at 4:30 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Byron Buxton is back from a brief rehab stint with the St. Paul Saints. And here's how they're going to go. Jeffers will DH lead off. Correa at short will bat second. Castro in left field will bat third. Miranda's at third and will bat in the cleanup spot. Byron Buxton will be in the five hole in center field. Margot in right field, he'll bat six. Seventh, Santana at first. Eighth, Farmer at second base. Vasquez will catch. Jeffers, Correa, Castro, Miranda, Buxton, Margot, Santana, Farmer, and Vasquez behind Bailey Ober. And we want to put out a couple of thank yous. Number one, Josh Wheeler, our producer on the program today. Most of all, thanks to you for tuning in. Twins and Guardians coming up. The lineup card is next at 4:30, first pitch at 5:10 with Chris Satterbury and friends here on the home of the Twins. News Talk, 830-WCCO. Third round of the PGA continues at Valhalla in Louisville. Xander Schauffele at 14 under par. Colin Morikawa and Shane Lowry one back. Justin Rose leading a group three off the lead in a tie for fourth. Scotty Scheffler struggled a bit today. Doesn't look like he's going to be a factor on Sunday in the final round of the PGA. Twins and Guardians coming up, game two of the three-game set. Lineup card at 4:30. Bobby Nightingale will join us from the Star Tribune in a bit. Right now, we're going to go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I'm great, man. How you doing?
Yeah, good. We're a week in from the opener. How's it been?
It's been kind of mixed, really. It's just I've been hearing, you know, from people all over the state, all my cronies are all checking in, passing information. It seems like the walleye bite just is not quite there yet. It's been a struggle. Bowstring Lake, Red Lake's been really good. Mille Lacs has been really good. And a lot of the walleye lakes in northwestern Minnesota have been really fairly slow. It's just not quite there yet, but it will be coming, you know, with Memorial Weekend coming up. That's usually the start of the really good bite. But the real big news is the crappie fishing. Oh, my goodness. It is, like, the best I've ever seen. I mean, to give you a good example, yesterday I was on a lake and I had three guide groups, and one of my guys was out in 24 feet of water and found crappies suspended at 12 feet. I found my crappies in 7 feet, and my other guy was in 2 feet in the bulrushes, and the fish were still spawning. So it's just kind of a wild mixture of everything right now, but they're definitely shallow. They're definitely active. They're full of food. Some are spawned already. Some have not. But the fishing for crappies, panfish, bluegills right now is really, really good. So that's only going to get better, and then the walleyes will turn around a little bit. Sometimes, you know, it takes them a while. Water temperatures have been in the 50s. They're not really climbing much, maybe a degree a day. But, you know, we got to get up 58, 59, 60, and then they'll really be going. So the best is yet to come, Steve-O.
So the crappie bite is on. Walleyes are almost there. It sounds like we're moving into prime time for Steve Kearney.
Yeah, I'm a little impatient. It just hasn't quite started fast enough, and it's been kind of a slow start for everything. And, you know, we had an early spring, but it just didn't seem to matter. Now we've just kind of caught up, and we're kind of normal, but it just isn't quite there. But really, we're about 5 or 6 or 7 days away from everything just going crazy, and then a lot of lakes will be going. And that's the best fishing of the year. We've talked about that many times. You get into June and early July, that's the best fishing of the year. So I think the participation was a little less than I expected on the opener. The weather was perfect, but I really didn't see the multitude of boats like I normally do. You know, maybe people were elsewhere, but I think participation was probably average, I guess is the best way to describe it. So people were out, and they're certainly going to be out this weekend with Memorial. It looks like in the North Country, Northwest, it's supposed to rain almost every day this week, and hopefully it'll kind of rebound by the end of the week, because Memorial is huge for fishermen, and they will be out no matter what.
Yeah, and Steve, what have you seen with water levels? I know we've had a fair amount of rain here in the cities and the greater metro area, kind of out of the drought situation. But we know that up north, the drought still lingers. What are you seeing with water levels in your neck of the woods?
Steve, you know, it's hard to believe that we are still low. I mean, we've had a lot of rain in the last 2.5-3 weeks. We've had a couple of 1-inchers, and, you know, we've had plenty of rain, but we're still low. So, you know, a lot of people are going to be up with pontoon boats dropping into a lot of lakes up in the Northwest Lakes Country. You want to kind of, you know, just keep an eye out, because some of these ramps are still really low, and getting in a large boat or a pontoon boat on some lakes might not be possible. But it's hard to believe that we're not, you know, higher up than we should be. I don't really have an explanation, but there's no doubt we're low, but it's not as bad as last year, but we still could use some more rain, and it looks like this whole week it's going to rain anyway, so maybe in a week it'll be, you know, in a lot better shape.
Yeah, no doubt. Looks like a rainy week, even here in the cities as well, or a number of good chances for rain this week. Steve, where are you going to be besides dodging raindrops?
That's a good one. You know, I've got my rain gear ready to go, and, you know, I'm going to be out this week quite a bit, and I'm going to try to dodge the rain, but, you know, the good news is when you get rain, you get overcast, and overcast and walleyes go hand in hand, so we're going to try to sneak out, you know, with the various groups this week, try to in between the rain, and again, when you have those conditions, those are prime walleye conditions. They love rain, they love overcast, a little bit of wind, and that'll make a big difference, so might have to go in, go out, go in, go out. You never know. We'll just have to see what Mother Nature throws at us this week.
All right, Steve, good to visit with you. We'll do it again next week.
Hey, sounds great, Steve. Take care, man.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney. Steve Kearney Outdoors joining us on the weekends for years here on News Talk 830-WCCO. And, oh, by the way, our outdoors coverage continues on Sunday with Rob Dreisline from the Outdoor News. He has a phenomenal show between 5 and 6, jam-packed with all sorts of great info. And, guys, that's Rob from the Outdoor News, Sundays between 5 and 6 here on News Talk. 830-WCCO, quick break. We'll turn our attention to the home nine, Twins and Guardians. Game two of the three-game set from Cleveland. The Guardians won 3-2 last night. Tough night for Johan Duran and the Twins as they give it up in the eighth inning. Guardians grab the lead, go on to win it 3-2. Twins have dropped 4 in a row. Bailey Ober on the mound. Bobby Nightingale joins us in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. Twins and Guardians coming up. Game two of the three-game set from Cleveland. Lineup card at 4:30. Your first pitch at 5:10. Guardians won it 3-2 last night. Jose Ramirez hit a home run off Johan Duran in the bottom of the eighth inning. They go on to win it once again 3-2. The Twins have dropped 4 in a row, and it's been a struggle with the bats as of late. And to sort that out and what's going on with the home nine, Bobby Nightingale joins us, and he covers the club for the Star Tribune, online at startribune.com. Bobby, good to visit with you. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, doing well. Weather's great in Cleveland, so glad to join you.
Yeah, big crowd on Friday night. We played some cuts earlier, some Twins highlights, the Kirilloff home run, but then ultimately the Ramirez home run that turned out to be the game winner. Boy, the fans were into it. What, 30,000 plus at the yard?
Yeah, they unveiled the new City Connect uniforms and kind of made a big day out of it. I mean, they had live music playing outside the park. The crowd, obviously, a big one for Cleveland, and always a better environment when you have a close game and fans are into it. And they sure had a lot to cheer when Jose Ramirez homered there in the eighth inning.
Yeah, they go on to win it 3-2, and Chris Atterbury was pointing out fireworks Friday night and fireworks again tonight at the ballpark. Another big crowd expected. And why not? Cleveland's off to a good start this year. They're a solid team again. And this is an organization that finds pitching. I mean, there is no doubt about it. They get bad news. But they seem to have a parade of arms coming up through the minor leagues.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. If you want a sustainable organization, that's what you have to be able to do is develop pitching. It's just not feasible to sign, big free agent starting pitchers for a lot of teams. So, and do that on a yearly basis. So, I mean, you got to give credit to Cleveland for what they've done for pretty much since 2016 when they went to the World Series. They've had a lot of great pitchers come through here, traded a lot of them, and still have been able to churn out a team that's remained competitive pretty much every year. And winning a lot, too.
Yeah, and they got the terrible news on Shane Bieber, who figured to be their ace and really lead the charge for him this year, and they got that bad news right out of the gate this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what it comes down to is, you know, they have pitching depth. They probably don't have the names that match up with a lot of other organizations, yep. But they find guys that, you know, nondescript, low round draft picks, and those guys have success. But I mean, if you look at like losing Shane Bieber, if the Twins had lost Pablo Lopez, I mean, how would that have been taken in Minnesota, just the fan base? So I mean, you look at it, being able to kind of weather that storm and remain in first place when you lose your ace is that's not easy to do.
Yeah, and by the way, with Cleveland's win last night, the Twins have fallen into third place in the division after this four-game slump. More on that and the slump the Twins are in right now. But they do get some good news. Byron Buxton has been reactivated, and he'll be in the lineup today.
Yeah, he's back. Austin Martin goes down in his place. But, yeah, I mean, it's just one of those. Obviously they weren't going to be able to score 7-8 runs a game like they were doing at the beginning of their 12-game winning streak. I don't think anyone was surprised that kind of cooled off a little bit, but it's just one of those. They're just not kind of stringing together big innings. I mean, they're hitting a few balls hard, but it's like one per inning, and if that ball's caught, you know, they don't create anything else during the inning. So that'll be something they got to clean up, is just being more consistent, kind of lengthening the lineup, because that's what they were doing when they went on that winning streak, and even after the winning streak against Seattle when they beat up on their pitching staff. They were able to take. They were able to get a lot from the bottom of the lineup, and I just don't think that's been the case, here since they played the Yankees and yesterday.
And I'm sure the pitchers are going to be happy to see Byron Buxton patrolling center field. The one thing is he is Gold Glove caliber center fielder, and having him out there is a big advantage.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to you don't want to take for granted defense, you could see it over the past few games, just kind of what they were missing without yep. Byron Buxton in center field. I mean, it was a rough series against the Yankees for Willie Castro in center. Austin Martin had a couple of mistakes. Alex Kirilloff wasn't able to make a catch in left field. So, I mean, it changes everything when you have the up-the-middle defense. Carlos Correa, when he was on the injured list, you could see it when Willie Castro was at shortstop. I mean, he handled it fine, but he just wasn't making the same plays that Carlos Correa usually makes, and then you see it in center. So, I mean, when you could shore up the middle of your defense, that goes a long way for the pitching staff.
Yeah, it has been a struggle over the last four games with the bats. Too early to say it's like that start of the season where the Twins really, really struggled with runners and scoring position and all the strikeouts, et cetera. There's no reason to panic and say we're back in early April mode, but it is a bit concerning when the Twins aren't able to get the big hit when they need it, or string hits together like they did when they were going well.
Yeah, they just haven't had a guy like Max Kepler. You look at him and how much he kind of carried the offense for a little while with his hot streak. Ryan Jeffers kind of the same way, how he's been since pretty much the first week of the season. Those guys haven't dominated like they had been. And so they need someone else, to step up. I mean, that's kind of just how baseball is over the course of a season. You're going to have guys step up for weeks at a time. And, this week they just haven't really had anyone kind of fill that void, with Ryan Jeffers and Max Kepler not getting on base as much as they usually have been.
Well, and the good thing about baseball is the games come quickly and you can turn the page. And they've got a guy on the mound tonight who's been going really well as of late, in Bailey Ober.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go by kind of the most consistent, you take away that start against Kansas City in the first series. I mean, he's been lights out. and kind of giving them everything they could have asked for. Talk about a guy, kind of like we were talking about with Cleveland and their pitchers. How big is it that Bailey Ober's taking a step forward after you lose Sonny Gray and Kenta Maeda? I don't think that probably has been talked about enough, just in terms of like some guys, him, Joe Ryan, some other guys kind of putting more on their plate and actually delivering, because that's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, and you look at the numbers over the last seven, 4-0 ERA, 2.16 in his last seven, 41 and two-thirds innings. So they're almost getting six innings on average a start out of Ober, and that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy, he's not afraid to, attack guys in the zone. He keeps his pitch count pretty low for the most part, doesn't walk guys. So, I mean, that's a recipe for a guy who can pitch deep into games as long as he's having success. And, to his credit, he has been. I mean, he's take away that opening start, and, you could line him up with pretty much any other pitcher in the American League, and he'd fare pretty well against them. So that gives the team a lot of confidence. I mean, when you have guys that you come to the ballpark and you're like, okay, we feel like we have a really good chance of winning today just because of who the starting pitcher is on the mound.
So it will be Bailey Ober today. Byron Buxton back to lineup. He will be in center field. Bobby, it's always good to visit with you. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, there he is, Bobby Nightingale, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We're moments away from that pregame lineup card. Bobby joining us in the writer's corner, and we try to do that every Saturday before or after the Twins games, and visit with those guys and gals that cover the Twins all season long. And let's take a sneak peek at the lineup behind Bailey Ober. In the ball game tonight, Cleveland time, first pitch, 6:10 Eastern, 5:10 our time. Once again, lineup card moments away, coming up here at 4:30 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Byron Buxton is back from a brief rehab stint with the St. Paul Saints. And here's how they're going to go. Jeffers will DH and lead off. Correa at short will bat second. Castro in left field will bat third. Miranda's at third and will bat in the cleanup spot. Byron Buxton will be in the five hole in center field. Margot in right field, he'll bat sixth. Seventh, Santana at first. Eighth, Farmer at second base. Vasquez will catch. Jeffers, Correa, Castro, Miranda, Buxton, Margot, Santana, Farmer, and Vasquez behind Bailey Ober. And we want to put out a couple of thank yous. Number one, Josh Wheeler, our producer on the program today. Most of all, thanks to you for tuning in. Twins and Guardians coming up. The lineup card is next at 4:30, first pitch at 5:10 with Chris Satterbury and friends here on the home of the Twins, News Talk, 830 WCCO.